Welcome to National Living Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, March 3rd, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationalliberty.org, click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab, top right side of the website. Okay, we're going to start off with our scripture reading. I didn't open that up yet, so give me a minute to do that. Okay, wrong one. Done. Okay, so we're going to start off with tonight's scripture reading, the Gospel according to John. We're in chapter 17, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight or any announcements?
Yes, Your Honor, I have several tonight. Some of the questions are getting so short, they don't contain enough information for you really to get a handle on what they want. The first one is kind of that way. It's four questions. The first question is, do we have to correct our status? How and with which forms?
Okay, well, do you want to do them one at a time, I guess, right? The answer is no. We don't have to correct our status. We're sovereign people. It's very clear in our founding documents, we the people ordained and established this constitution for them to be obedient to and to follow and not to go beyond. And we are the lawmakers. We've been very clear with that. We ordained and established, as I said, these things, but we also empowered them. We vested power to the courts, to one Supreme Court. We vested power to an administration, and we vested power to legislators. So, we already have status. That's just evil controlling the courts, claiming that we don't have status. So just one way to throw us out, you don't have status. You know, look, at one person could go in with any complaint, and they have, it is expected that they should be able to these courts, for instance, because usually that's where we go to, of course, where the big problems are. The courts have to be obedient and respond to us, just one person. We don't need to be 1,000 people. But in order to have government by consent and control these people, we do have to get involved in our grassroots level, on a county level, with committees of safety. And that's how we have government by consent, coming together as a people and requiring them to obey our will. So anyway, we've got a lot written on that. You can find all that information under Start a Committee of Safety right here. Just click on that button and follow the breadcrumb trails. All right, what's the second to that part three?
Okay, the next question is, do we record documents in our direct county?
Well, I presume the documents they're talking about is the Committee of Safety. So, although we haven't spoke about that, I might have spoken about that a while back, I don't remember. But that is a good idea to, once you form your Committee of Safety, you put a seal on it and go file it with the county clerk. Of course, you want to have a copy of that, you know, that document. And, you know, that document, of course, should be your resolutions and your charter, and it should have seals on it. And so whenever you go to talk with the sheriff first time, you need to present that document, which tells them exactly who you are, what we are doing as a Committee of Safety. You know, so it lays out our plan, our charter, and the resolutions we've made concerning that charter. And that should also, that would be, of course, what you want to file with the county, county clerk. Also, anytime you approach any agency, government agency that you're going to be dealing with, or any board, you know, whether it's a town board or a school board or whatever board it is, or even going up to talk with legislators, you want to produce those documents at that time so that they understand and know who we are. We're the people, and we get to decide things, and they have to obey what we decide. Okay, next question.
Who to send registered, quote, recorded documents to?
No, I think I just answered that one. What was the second question? I thought that's what the second question was.
No, that was, do we record documents in our direct county?
Yeah, and that would be, of course, the county clerk, but I extended that to the different government agencies and boards and so on. So, okay, so that's answered.
the next question then is, what's our next move?
Well, look at the next move really is to continue to educate individuals on the administrative level. And of course, particularly dealing with Bondi, Attorney General Bondi. I'm ready to do some paperwork of past indictments that we've made on a lot of the federal judges. And there is another one that's just recently come up, so we'll probably include that also. Send it out to Bondi, and let's see what she's going to do with it. If she's going to honor the will of the people and obey we the people. You know, we've come together as a grand jury, the thousands of us. But again, you know, they're supposed to be obedient to the will. And these people have all broken the law. We're going to start off with habeas corpuses. These people have denied habeas corpuses, lots of them. And that's a huge violation. You might as well say we're a lawless nation. You know, every time we go into the courts, I've been in the courts so many times, you know, and it keeps throwing you out for the silliest, stupid little things. And you can't really get anywhere with these people. They have to go. And I don't believe that, I believe we read the paper on this just recently. Let me see. We did do, let's go on to the front page here. And we did the presentment to the United States Supreme Court. We did the addendum to that grand jury presentment. We did an indictment upon the entire federal judiciary. We presented to the President Trump. And recently, I don't think I've read this one, we presented to President Trump and A.G. Bondi. We may look a little at that tonight, but we'll see. But I do want to get some papers out this week, maybe by the end of the week. Also, the book, Government by Consent. I got to set out maybe about 30, possibly 40 books. And we're trying to make sure that everyone in his administration has a copy of that book. Also, other people that are around the president have a copy of that book. So I know that's over 30 people, and I believe it's under 40. I haven't really took a count on that, which, by the way, we can use help financially on that. This doesn't go for free. The paperwork has to be filed and served, and, you know, it's not too expensive, but nevertheless, it's paperwork and there's mailing involved. And we do a lot of copying on that paperwork, so there'll be quite a few people getting copies. And, of course, the books, I still have to pay for books. So I've got to pay the books, and we have to mail the books. So anybody can help us with that, it'd be well appreciated. You know, we're on a very tight budget, trying to just survive every month. We kind of just get by. And we are seeking, you know, funding to really get involved in the educational process. In the presentment to President Trump, we put out the information that we were seeking funds to work on books to educate our children from K to the 12th grade. And that we were seeking funds to do that. Just had a little thing. Hopefully maybe someone will read that that's got some deep pockets and help fund us on that. So, I mean, quite a few people received that. And we'd like to do that. But, of course, we can't do that without some serious money because we have to employ a number of people to put that together. It's a huge, huge project to really put off. You know, we're looking at 12 grades plus kindergarten, so it's 13. And we're looking for a proper education for those children to make sure by the time they get through the 12th grade, they'll understand everything, their heritage, who we are as a people. And the court system, how the court system works, what due process is, the power and the authority of the people, the duty that our children have when they get older to give back to this great nation of ours, whereas they should respond to the call in when to become a jurist, that they should join into a committee of safety in their county. Exercise their unalienable right of government by consent. Of course, that pretty much says pretty much everything we're doing. But that's where we're heading. We've got a lot of work ahead of us. And again, anybody who thinks, well, we're okay now because Trump's president, he's going to fix it all, I'm going to kick back and relax, well, you know, if you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, because that's not going to happen. We will lose this government again if the people don't step up to exercise their right of government by consent. It's just a matter of time. It'll come right back to us again. So we can't afford to be lazy. And why would we want to be lazy? And again, education is important not only for our children, but for us too. I mean, how can we know when they're breaking the law? How can we know that when they're doing things that they don't have the power, the authority to do, if we don't understand the law that we, the people, wrote, ordained, and established for them to fulfill? So we need to get involved. We need to get our children involved. We have to educate our children. I also communicated with Trump concerning the fact that, through the grand jury, of course, you know, it's necessary for the federal government to require a proper education. And the way they can do that is all schools pretty much get some federal funding. Of course, the public schools are completely funded by the federal government. And it may be through their states, but ultimately it comes from the federal government to the states and then to whatever the money is earmarked for, and in this case, education. So anybody getting federal money should be required to give them a proper education. Jefferson spoke about this. If we don't educate our children, it's just going to be lost in a generation. They're going to lose everything they got. And nothing has changed. The same thing here. You know, we may get by for so many years, but as the next generation starts to move in, the generation after that, it's all forgotten again, and we're back to the same place we were. The only way to stop this is through education. All right. Jim.
Okay, the next question, there's three of them actually, I'll read them all at once, are about purchasing a home from an owner. We are trying to purchase a home from a friend, and we would like to see what your thoughts on it are. What is the best way to go about writing up the transaction? That's the first question. Second is, do you have any documents that we can use or learn from? And the third is, what do you think about an affidavit of fact to start with?
Well, you know, look, at from a builder's perspective, first thing, you're going to buy a home, you want to get it inspected. Who will come in and write a report on the condition of the home, and they check everything out, and if there are any problems, you know, what's the roof like, is there any electrical problems, is everything up to code, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So from that perspective, that's the first step that I would realize. Again, you want to check the pricing of the homes within the area, and you want to see how that home fits in as far as price-wise is concerned, and you want to negotiate the repairs or changes or corrections necessary for that home if they ask for, you know, X amount of money. And it's going to cost X amount of dollars to do certain repairs to bring it to where it should be. Of course, you make that subtraction and you make that offer. So, but as far as anything else is concerned, there are legal processes, and you do have to hire a lawyer for that. And it shouldn't be that expensive. You know, we're not talking thousands of dollars. Maybe we're talking, you know, $500-$600 or something like that. Maybe $800 for put our closing together. As far as the lawyer's fee is concerned, there are other fees involved also. And everything goes through the county. Everything has to be done in a legal way. There are searches for liens on the home. All of that process is taken care of by the lawyer. You know, look, at bar attorneys are problems. We need to reinstate the original 13th Amendment, which prevents any bar attorney from holding any kind of an office of trust. So that's what we have to do. So none of these lawyers should be bar attorneys. And but remember, a lot of these attorneys are lawyers, and I know people try to make a difference between an attorney and a lawyer, but you go into the dictionary, Black's Law Dictionary, and even Bouvier's, it means the same thing. It's just a word game that's being played, and then we get lost inside that word game. So the barristers are the problem, bar attorneys. But you do need a lawyer to go through this. Actually, you know, again, our children, we train them up the way that they should go. A lot of this they can do themselves. They can probably even go through the closing and everything else. And so can you if you study that side of the law. And there are statutes that control that process. So it's a matter of learning those statutes and following the procedures. And it's also, again, just like due process in courts, that has a process. So you just have to learn the process. You can find all this stuff on the internet just by searching keywords and get a lot of info. But we do need the lawyers that are trained in statutory processes. There's a lot of equity law out there. Equity, of course, is law created by a legislator, so it's legislated law. On the federal level, for instance, we have 57 jurisdictions. So therefore, we have specialties in every one of those. The president himself, all the powers and the authorities that he has is written up, USC 3. Yes, it's USC 3, Title 3, is the president. And if I recall, it's like 800 or 900 pages of, statutes that anyone who is advising the president needs to know all that. Now, we don't need to know all that unless we attend to practice law in that particular area, And so just on a federal level alone, like I said, there are 57 different jurisdictions, so different codes. You have for the armed forces, USC Title 10, just lots of things. The Postal Service is under USC Title 39. And then the same thing is true on the state level. Okay, there's lots of statutes that apply to different agencies, to commercial activities. And if you wanted to specialize in those laws, you'd have to learn it. But as far as we, the people, are concerned, and as far as due process, what we need to know is really under common law. And common law is simply a collection of maxims, things that are so obvious true, For instance, and really it's just common sense. That's all common law is, common sense. For instance, you're innocent until proven guilty. Innocent until proven guilty. That's a maxim. For every injury, there must be a remedy. That's a maxim. Those things, it rings true in our brains. It's common sense, okay? For every injury, there must be a remedy. Just plain old common sense. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. What we do need to learn, though, is the process of how the court system works. The process, that's it. As far as law is concerned, it's written in your heart, and exercise, and you build the facts and build a case off of logic. It's that simple. You don't build them off of statutes. You build them off of logic. I think that answered all the questions.
Okay. Next one. Did you happen to see it come in, John? It's very long. It's a whole page, and it's got a bunch of different acts and codes and so on back and forth. Do you want me to read it, or did you get a chance to read through it?
Well, just give me a flavor of a few sentences or something to see if we can deal with that at this point. A lot of things may have to be broken up. Is it like a series of so much information that there's a lot of different points that need to be made for different sections of the question? Is that what it is? Let me just hear it, to begin to get a flavor. But no, I didn't see you read that.
Okay. We'll give it a try. It says, I'm having a little bit of difficulty navigating the state of Pennsylvania income tax legislation. We have here what is known as Act 166 of 2000.
No sense to go through it any further. Income tax is unlawful. It's repugnant to the common law. It's a slave tax. You can't be applied upon you. They do it because they're taking advantage of our ignorance to begin with. People think we need to pay income tax. And state taxes, I'll tell you what, they don't have enforcement on the state level, at least not here in New York. I found that out a long time ago. And, they really depend on the federal income tax to be able to really pry and push through their tax. So, but that could get pretty lengthy, and it doesn't sound like, again, it's unlawful. So why even? Unfortunately, we have to participate with it in some degree. I mean, some people don't, but they're able to get away with it because they understand how to. And Trump is getting ready to do get rid of it. So on a federal level, gets rid of it on a federal level. State level is slam dunk, done. So we'll see how, is there another part to these questions other than income tax?
Well, that was the first line, John.
Yeah, well, I saw it coming.
There's a page here.
I'll tell you what, why don't you kind of forward that to me, and maybe we'll look at it next week, because
okay.
You might want to put a lot of time into things that we may not really be able to answer, and it may get too deep anyway.
Yep, that seems like a reasonable response. Okay, the last question then we have. Could you explain, if you can, where any, quote, state of da-da-da-da-da-da, unquote, received their delegation of authority from we the people to act as an agent of any of the people to prosecute administrative violations disguised as statutes and codes against any of the people? Or, in other words, where does their standing to act as prosecutor arise?
Well, again, and just trying to keep it simple, any statute applied upon you is unlawful. You can't apply a statute to a human being. Statutes apply only to people who are working in government agencies or they're involved in commercial activity. On the federal level, it would be commercial activity, interstate commercial activity. Within the state, it would be commercial activity within that state. We've given them the power and the authority to write statutes to control the commercial activities and to control the agents within the agencies and to control the agency as a whole. So all that is lawful, but you can't apply a statute against a person. Now, they have been doing this for a long time, and I'll tell you exactly how they got away with this. They dumped this down, and the people are ignorant, and they haven't got a clue that they've been enslaved. That's how they got away with it. You just have to go through a whole generation and remove pieces of information from the people. They really dumbed us down. We've looked quite a few times over the past, and take even last week or the week before. But we looked at an eighth grade test from 1895, and that was bringing our children that only had an eighth grade education into a college education as far as the basics is concerned, not running for anything doctrinal. But the education was far superior, and we've been just dumbed down. Plus, they don't push civics, they don't push constitutional studies, they don't really push our heritage in school. All of that is lost and forgotten. You see, we have to get that back in. That's a Jeffersonian education. That's what Jefferson was talking about, and that's what we have to do. And if we fail to do it, and we'll just go back to living stupid and being slaves, and that'll be that. We'll have a little bit of freedom now when Trump in, and after so many years, we'll be back again. It's just a matter of time. So either we exercise our right of government by consent, or we just ignore it and fall away and become slaves again. Okay, that's the last question?
That was the last question, John. We're all done.
Okay, do we have any announcements?
No.
Okay. All right. By the way, the queue is open. Take a look. Okay, we do have a couple of people in the queue. So, okay, anybody has any questions? It's a star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone to get into the queue. And if you're on an app or a browser, then it is should be a button there somewhere. So we'll take questions in a minute. But I do want to go real quickly on this paper. If we have time, we're going to look at this tonight. But if not, people should read this, or maybe we'll read through it next week. It should be read out because we record all this, and we do get it up on YouTube and get it on Rumble. We get a pretty good response on Rumble, practically zero on YouTube. I mean, but we post them anyway. Maybe one day it'll spark up, and we'll start to get some decent hits. But anyway, this is a grand jury presentment to President Donald J. Trump and Attorney General Pamela Bondi. I don't believe I did read it. Let me see the date on this. February 18th. So, what's it was last month, but let me see, just go back a little bit. My way. 18th. So if I wrote it that week, we didn't read it last week, so no, we haven't read this. So eventually I'd like to read this, at least read a good portion of it. We'll see how things go. But right now we'll take questions, and then if we run out of questions, we'll look at this. So take our first caller. Okay, Robert from Texas, you got the mic. Go right ahead. You've been unmuted.
And I unmuted myself, I think.
Can hear you?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yep.
Okay, great. I tried to email, I guess I emailed the wrong address, a question of, has enforcement of violation of a guaranteed Republican form ever happened, to your knowledge, in 1787?
Start over again. I didn't get the first part of that. Try it again. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've had, in my estimation, we've had high treason here in Texas with members of the Republican Party caucus who said they would abide by the selection of the Speaker of the House by that chosen from the Republican caucus. When the person chosen by the Republican caucus wasn't to the liking of the Omni Party or the Deep State, basically 36 of them abdicated and went over to the Democrats. And we're just in a terrible situation here with the assignment of committee chairs and the parliamentarian or the advisor. Now, he used to be a parliamentarian. Now he's an advisor to the parliamentarian. Used to be one of Obama's lawyers in the White House. And so anyway, Tim Cox wrote that any man or group of men, no matter how powerful or wealthy, that should take away the Republican form. Let me find the thing. I'm so terrible at getting. The United States shall guarantee to every state of the Union a separate Republican form of government. From thence follows that any man or body of men, however rich or powerful, shall make an alteration in the form of government of any state, whereby the powers thereof shall be attempted to be taken out of the hands of the people at large, shall be guilty of high treason. Am I still with you?
Yep, I'm hearing you.
So I wanted to pick your brain if you were knowledgeable of that ever happening. You know, anybody prosecuted for violation of our guaranteed Republican form of government. But it has definitely happened here. I'm making a few inroads on Twitter with some of the more conservative representatives. But I don't think anybody knows enough to know anything about pursuing this. And, you know,
therein is the problem.
What?
Therein is the problem. A lot of people don't even realize all of the violations that they've been doing. They've been doing it all my life. And when I became conscious, I started to vote, I believe, when I was 18 years old. And I think that was the age. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. But in any event. And, and I searched figure out what to become, Republican or Democrat, and I looked into it and I said, well, I got to be a Republican. And I'm not talking about because of the rhetoric, but because of the meaning. But my knowledge really wasn't there, and it didn't come for quite some time after that. But when my knowledge came, because I started to do research, try to figure things out and understand things, I come to realize how serious the problem is, and I started to recognize just about everything they're doing is unlawful. They keep calling us a democracy when, in fact, we are not. I mean, I see and understand the conspiracy. This goes all the way back into the Federalist Times and the Federalist Papers, you know, going back in the debates. It already was there, trying to move us into a democracy. The Constitution is crystal clear that we are a republic. We are not a democracy. The word democracy does not show up in our founding documents. And it was very clear in a Federalist debate, you know, the arguments or the conversations, whatever you want to call them, Federalist and the Anti-Federalist Papers, this discussion came up a few times. Federalist Paper number 10 particularly is very strong against the fact that we are not a democracy. Democracy always self-murders themselves. And we've almost come to that point. You know, Trump just happened to come at the right time. He was uniquely qualified to do what he's doing. And that is to give us our republic back. I don't know, because he still uses the word democracy. It's been a while since the last time I heard him use that word, but he used it. Hopefully he's becoming educated. We're trying to educate him. But a lot of people around him still using the word democracy. It's repugnant. It's sickening. I feel insulted when they use that word, because these are the people running our country, and they don't know what we are. They don't know their heritage. They don't know the power and the authority of the people. Now, again, I think Trump may understand this, but he's kind of not really articulating things about that. We're trying to push him to start articulating that. And like I said, I want to send books out to roughly 40 people, between 30 and 40 people. And I'm going to write a letter from National Liberty Alliance to them. And that's one of the main things, is to stop calling us a democracy. We're not a democracy. Whether they understand it or not, it's still treason. Now, treason has degrees, of course. It's not always the death penalty. But those who absolutely understand and the planners of this thing, they know they should be ending up on the end of a short rope. And I would say every Democrat on the that's in power right now in Congress and in the Senate, watching what they're doing and what they're standing for, each one of them should be tried for treason. I don't know that they all should be hung, but some of them should be, I think. Well, matter of fact, I know some of them should be, you know. One of the senators here from New York definitely should be hung. Presidents, there are presidents still alive. They should be hung. And I think it's going to get to that point because, you know, we haven't really seen, although a lot of us that have been digging into things for a long time, the conspiracies, and we you know, we call them conspiracy theorists, and now all of a sudden it's getting out into the regular populace that it's not a theory at all. It is a conspiracy, but not a theory at all. It is conspiracies, in fact. And we know a lot of terrible things that have taken place, there's a lot worse than I think we even realize. And clearly the people who have not had a knowledge of these things and just starting to see the tip of these things haven't really seen the real serious problems yet. And when they see that, they're going to be sick to their stomachs. And maybe that's what people need in order to get active, because people really aren't getting active. They should get active. I don't know why they're not getting active, you know. And they're even less active now since Trump became president. No, this is the time to step up. This is the time to take control. This is the time to accept power and take control of the government, our local governments, and control of the individuals that we send up out there to Washington. This is the time to take control of our children's education, to make sure it happens and is corrected. Because the schools are just putting out morons. I mean, they're creating morons. They're not teaching them anything worthwhile, and we need to do something about that. And if we fail to do it, then you know what? We don't deserve the liberty that God has blessed us with. All day long I see violations. I just turn on the news, and there's another one, you know, every day.
This is what, and I don't watch the news, but this is one that, I've got a fairly large couple of groups that, you know, people that are really involved, you know, going to state conventions and big rallies and all this stuff. But this one seems to be the most egregious example, except the word, you know, I'm educating people here a little bit, but just trying to get them to grasp, you know, the importance of a Republican form. And it has been stolen. We had guys that swore an oath, and they agreed to the party that they would take the speaker from the Republican caucus, since we are the vast majority. You know, Trump won Texas by 14 points. And this has happened for at least 12 or 14 years. But this time, we've got the evidence, but we don't have enough people that really know how to prosecute it, or, you know, or that has a big enough microphone. We have one guy that was the director of HHS, or, you know, the number two guy of HHS under Trump's first term. He's now a state representative here in Texas, and he is just setting the world on fire. I mean, it's just, I just can't believe he's so good. He's maybe even better than Thomas Massie, and at least he is being a bulldog and knowing of which he speaks. You know, Massie really knows of which he speaks, but he's not a, you know, a drooling bulldog, you know, foaming at the mouth, ready to right wrongs. But anyway, I'm trying to get him on board, and I've called his office, I don't know, four or five times so far, and I guess I'll just keep doing it. I'm going to be going.
All right. Well, look, you know, I think you already know that the answer and the solution, maybe you don't realize how powerful it is, but it's really building a committee of safety and educating a committee of safety. And that's what I'm trying to do in my county. I know the people in my county, some of them think that what I have, you know, given them in lectures or videos and talks and questions and answers, you know, it's just a lot, too much. And I, you know, I tell them, look, you know, you don't have to know and understand. You don't have to know all the things that I'm bringing to attention, because we're looking at everything. You know, we're looking, dealing with the political problem that we have, dealing with educational problem, dealing with our judicial problem, dealing with the militia. I mean, there's so many different things with the different subcommittees, and there's a lot involved. But look, at you know, you sit down and you listen to things, you read things, and you get a good idea of what's going on, and enough to be able to make a decision in thought on, you know, what you're thinking or what position is on the different issues. But you may not be able to articulate it. In order to articulate it, then you have to dive deep and spend a lot of time going through things, and then it becomes like a second language to you, like anything else. You know, if you go, anybody who has a doctrine in anything, you know, it's just spending a lot of time reading and studying and reviewing and searching and investigating, and then trying to take things further, intellectually speaking, to whatever knowledge that you've been given, that to build on the shoulders of giants, so to speak, you know. But everybody gets a niche, you know. Some people will focus in on this issue. Some people will focus in on that issue. And when a committee of safety comes together collectively over time, you will master all of the things necessary collectively for what has to be done. You know, there have to be people that are really focused in on the law. Everybody should know the law. Everybody should look into the law. They should understand the law. But, you know, exercising the law, going into a court, maybe articulating a case or whatever the case may be, you know, that requires a lot of work in order to become really good at that, if that's what you want. But everybody doesn't have to do that, you know. And I would suggest to the people you're talking to send them to our page here at National Liberty Alliance. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit of this. Before I read it, I'm going to let you talk, because it sounds like you wanted to say something else. But let me just make this note. This is found under Education Starts Here. Okay. It come down to, let's see, American History, okay, and then you come over to Founding Fathers and the Political Parties. This is where, listening to your problem, what you're talking about, this is what they need to know and understand. You know, it isn't getting participate. It isn't the point to participate in the political process with political parties, because you're only getting involved and assisting in the destruction of our republic. No republic, especially a natural law republic, no republic can survive political parties. That's what kills themselves. That's what will commit suicide. And that's where we've come to America. And I'm going to read a little bit of this, but first I'm going to let you have the mic, because you might want to say something before.
What you just said right there, natural law. See, that's what our founders had, you know, when they declared our independence and when they defeated the English. They had the laws of nature, its creation, and the laws of nature's God, the Bible. So I think there's a whole lot of people, you know, that's, you know, as far as law and politics and government, you know, if we can't agree on what our founders agreed on when they declared independence, you know, those two laws, laws of nature, nature's God, you know, then we're starting at the wrong place. So we got to start there. So I think there's just a tremendous number of people that agree with you on, you know, the principles of the Committee of Safety and the Committee of Correspondence and all that kind of stuff. What we call it maybe isn't as critical. You know, there may be Oath Keepers or church groups or, you know, the one I mentioned, I think last week or the week before, was that the American vision, you know, and wanting to do sort of like, it's not their word, it's my word, hyper-localism. They were wanting to localize at the county level. I'd like to do it, you know, at the neighborhood, you know, like the church, you know, like how far are you from this church? Okay, this is your neighborhood. You're the Green Acres neighborhood, or you're the Southern Oaks neighborhood, you know, kind of that level. And then educate them with the committees of correspondence. And I tell a lot of people, you know, about your website, and how excellent, I mean, it's astounding how much material you put out. And then when I get that, you know, book on Revelations that you just wrote, I was astounded at that. And, but anyway, so I think we should unite on where our founders united. And that was before they had parties. Well, I guess they had parties from England, didn't they? The Whigs and the whatevers. But
well, yeah, there was all kinds of different parties that eventually ended up with just two parties. But go ahead, finish up.
But you know, they united under, you know, all men are created equal with the inalienable rights. So there was no disagreement on that. And they also agreed with the consent, you know, of the governed. And then they agreed with the, however many grievances was it, what 27 or something, you know, on the wrongs that were being done to them. And you know, I think we can get, and then it's almost too late to educate folks. That's why I'm pursuing this high treason with our, you know, the usurpation of our guaranteed Republican form. And, you know, it's just so egregious what's going on here, because they shut down all normal procedure of the House so that the conservatives could not talk, could not make any amendments, could not do anything. I mean, it's just, and it's, like I say, it's been on for 12 or 14 years, but it's never been this egregious. So anyway, that's pretty much what I'm at. I totally agree on the committees of safety, you know, on the principles of that, but, you know, trying to get everybody to put on the same colored shirt and say, with the same words on it, you know, may not be, you know, something that we can accomplish in a short period of time. But, you know, if, you know, at church, everybody I talk to about first laws, you know, it just opens their eyes and they say, oh.
Well, I mean, you know,
there's a separation of church and state, because the laws, you know, creation in the Bible cannot be contradicted.
Yeah, well, look, separating churches from state really identified with choosing a particular denomination, you know, whether it's a Presbyterian or physician or Catholic or this or that. But as far as the Bible is concerned, they did do a paper on that, and they did do some research on that to see how it was handled before it was taken out of the schools. But that'll be a discussion for another time, maybe, because you brought up a lot of different issues, and I'd like to address some of them.
Okay, good.
It's going to take time, but it depends on the people, okay? And it depends on the leadership. And hopefully they'll follow the course that we've set up. We've written handbooks on the course of how to put together a committee of safety. What is the first order of business? How do you need to set yourself up? What kind of knowledge do you have to have? And then we lead them through all the knowledge that's necessary for them to have. And you'll find that, for instance, under Start a Committee of Safety, click on handbooks, tools, and documents and videos, PowerPoints. And these videos here are the videos that I played and then had discussion with over the course of three or four or so meetings, okay, in order to get people interested in laying out the program. And again, in the beginning, I don't think I made it clear enough, but after a while, I did make it clear. Nobody's going to know all this stuff, at least not very quickly. But many hands make light work. And again, you'll have experts, people, if they're true and honest to themselves, because some people, you know, they exaggerate things, or they whatever the case may be, you know. But again, they come to a knowledge of you got to have people who are focusing in on the law. You have to have people who are focusing in on the political process. You have to have people who are focusing in on the educational part of things, and the party problem, and so on. So collectively, we work it all out. But I think you can have a committee of safety if they meet at least once a month. The committee of safety that I'm organizing, trying to get going, these people are interested in meeting twice a month. So that's 24 meetings within 1 year. And if they do all the things that we lay out, let's say you're meeting twice a month, so let's say a year. If you're meeting once a month, let's say 2 years. To come to a point where the committee of safety really has come to a maturity point, where they really have a grip on the problems, they have a grip on the knowledge necessary to fix those problems, the process and the procedures, and exercise them. And they can start exercising those things 3 or 4 months in if they follow the protocol. Because the key thing, as I've mentioned numerous times, and it's first and foremost in the handbooks, is the first thing you have to do is to really put together all of your paperwork. You have to put a charter together. We've already written that charter. You have to put resolutions together. We've already written those resolutions. So they can go through them, and they can change them, they can add to them, they can put more resolutions, they can put more information in the charter. But we have a framework. That's the point. We have the framework. That could be done in a couple of meetings. You know, there's an introduction has to take place, but then after that, then maybe a couple of months to get through all the paperwork. Once you do that, that's when you take that paperwork and you take it with the book Government by Consent and get some handbooks, or sheriff's handbooks. You can find all of that under the Welcome books by John Duresh. Now, as far as the handbooks are concerned, you can give them in the PDFs because you can download them in PDF form. But I think it's much better to give the handbooks because they can hand them out to their deputies and you can stick it in their shirt pocket, so on and so forth, something they can carry with them. And definitely one book, at least. I'm going to do a couple of books, you know, the undersheriff and the sheriff, and maybe a few others. But the thing is you're educating your sheriff. So the second thing you do is you make a visit to the sheriff. And that visit shouldn't be any more than 10 minutes. You're just there to introduce yourself and invite them to a meeting maybe a month and a half down the road. Because you want them to digest all the paperwork you give them. You want them to read the book. Then you want to bring them into your meeting. And then you're going to find out whether he's going to be a real sheriff or not. And if he's not going to be the right sheriff and he refuses to comply to the law and come to an understanding of the law and to protect the people because he's the law enforcer and to understand that, if he's refusing those things, then it's as simple as a recall. We were discussing this at the last meeting. And so where do we get a sheriff from? Well, that sheriff will come up from amongst us, okay, somewhere along the line. You know, when I got involved in the different, groups, you know, we did the Tea Party and Ron, Ron Paul movement in the beginning and Glenn Beck's movement and all those things, you know, people did come and were interested in, you know, becoming maybe a congressman or some kind of representative local or whatever the case may be. And they were like-minded with us, so we supported them, and we got some of them elected over time. But it's not enough, because we all have to be doing that in order to take back. You know, you have to have a good part of your state working on these things. But anyway, that is the key thing, really, is to get started in that fashion. But one of the problems, and again, what I would say, particularly to the people you're talking about, bring them to the page where I told you here with the founding fathers and political parties. Okay, education starts here. You come down to, let's see, where was this? American history, I think. Yeah, American history, founding fathers and political parties. Now, I'm just going to read a little bit of this, but this is the key, and this is what people need to understand. And just to finish up that other point, if you're meeting twice a month for a year, I think you can get to the point where the Committee of Safety would be relatively mature to some degree. And during that time period, you'll already be working in the schools, because that's the next thing after the sheriffs start taking our schools back and getting rid of these people that are problematic. And we go through the whole process how to do that. And so while you're doing that, you'll be growing in all the other areas. But one of the key things we have to do is get rid of political parties. This nation will not survive political parties. No matter what we set up, and if people get involved with political parties, it's only a time, because we'll get party bosses back again. You get all the psychopaths and the sociopaths coming to the place of power, because that's what they seek out. And we'll just have the same problem, okay? But here's what George Washington said. I'm only going to read this one section. George Washington, in his farewell address, warned us that through the course of time, cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men, it's what's going to happen again, it's only a matter of time, would subvert the power of the people and seize for themselves the reins of government. That's what they did to the elected committee men, to the statutory committee men. You know, the process that we're chasing is what our founding fathers had put together, and actually it was long before they just learned about it and exercised it, which is Committee of Safeties. The Committee of Safety is the true committee man. Okay. So unprincipled men will subvert the power of the people, seize to themselves the reins of government through private associations, Republican and Democrat parties. Those are the two associations. He went on to tell us that once they seize the reins of power, and they did that a long time ago, also known as the committee man, the parties that would arise would destroy the very engines, that's the political process, which had lifted them up to the unjust dominions. Destroy the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities. Open the doors to foreign... Does this sound familiar? Open the doors to foreign influences and corruption. Thus, the policy and the will of one country will be subjected to the policy and will of another. Serve to organize division, ruin public liberty, stifle, control, and repress. Foment occasional riots, insurrections. Kindle animosity, one part against another. Put in place the delegated will of the nation, the will of the party elite. Does this all sound familiar? Agitate the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms. Undermine the Constitution, which could not be directly overthrown. Distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administrations. Drive the spirit of revenge. Leads to despotism. Washington concluded, parties are truly your worst enemy. We have to get rid of political parties. That's not the solution. I strongly suggest not to seek to try to control those people that way. You control them by obeying the will of the people and recall them. We teach how to recall in this process. Now, by the time you come to that, maybe take, you know, 6-8 months before you get to that point. I don't know. It depends on how often you meet and how serious you are and how much you follow the program. Now, some people are starting committees of safety, and they're going off to left field and right field, and it may take them 10 years to get to the point, or 5 years, who knows how long, if they ever will get to it, okay? Hopefully, other people who are looking at the same literature that we put together in the handbooks may start to realize, wait, we're going off course here from the plan that was put together, and bring them back, you know, to the plan, because the plan will get you to the places we want to get to. and that is to take control of our education for all of our children, to educate ourselves, to take control of the political process and get rid of political parties, because they're repugnant to this Constitution. They're repugnant to our way of life. It's destructive to any republic. To take back control of the courts, to have actually courts of justice where they honor the people and actually make decisions accordingly on justice, which really brings us to juries and getting the judges' fingers out of what goes on in our courts, because they don't belong there. No judge belongs. Look at judges on the federal level, and this is true on the state level also, are administrative law judges. Administrative is the key. That brings us to statutes through equity. Those are the things they get to decide. That's why the United States, that's why the Bar Association steered the judiciary back in 1934 through the Rules Enabling Act. That's what they used to steer them into making rules. And rule number one, or actually rule number two, I think it was, but in any event, they combined law and equity and called it what? Civil law. Now we're all under statutes. And we've been under statutes for a long time now, since 1938. That's when the rules came into effect. And every state followed suit. Therein is the problem. We have to, first of all, you have to understand these things to correct these things. You have to understand these things to see the problem. And if people refuse to do that because it's way too much work, you know, maybe it causes them a headache or something, I don't know, well, then forget about liberty. You don't need it because you're not going to have it. And that's the problem we have. Go ahead.
Did they just write statutes, or did they amend our common law form of government that's mentioned twice?
Well, they got rid of the common law form of government. Yeah. And they created civil law.
The laws as written, just because they practice something, if they're not practicing what is written, then they're not practicing law.
Well, no. Law, true law, common law, is unwritten law. Okay.
Isn't that our form of government, according to Blackstone?
That's what we're supposed to have, but they don't allow us to have that. They've gotten rid of that.
38.
The United States Supreme Court, the entire judiciary, all of this was done and taught and controlled by the Bar Association, which I call the minions of the New World Order. The barristers have destroyed our nation. They came in to destroy our judicial process when we were colonies. In 1750 is when the bar was established by the king and the pope here in what we call the United States, which was the colonies in those days. Then they've been working to move our courts into chancery courts. Chancery courts are statutory courts. And the purpose of the statutory court is to enslave and control the people. It has its foundings, its beginnings in history is found in Babylon. And from Babylon, it worked into Rome, and it was reestablished under the name of Justinian. So it's Justinian law. And then that found its, eventually that became called Roman civil law. And if you talk to a lot of lawyers, depending on when they went to school, they'll tell you, we're under Roman law, Roman civil law. That's where we get our law from. Well, that's the law of the city. That's the law for slaves. That's the controlling factor. That's what keeps us. We're in statutory prisons is what we're in.
Great. Well, here, I think the key is when we elect people to take office, do they swear an oath to statutory laws?
They don't care about their oath. A lot of them probably don't even.
But if they violate their oath,
but who's going to prosecute them?
Well, what's the first three words of the Constitution?
Well, unless we the people get up and start to learn the law, to recognize the law, to realize when it's being violated, and do something about it collectively, starting from the grassroots and the county up, and if every look at, we have 62 counties in New York. In order to take back really, let's say, a real stronghold on the entire government, we'd have to have at least a half of those counties. So 62 counties, let's say 31 counties. If 31 counties had matured committees of safety operating, we would have total control of our government. Not only that we also be participating and taking control on our on a federal level, but we can only take so much control of that because we control our congressmen and we need to send senators back to the state. The state needs to take care of putting senators in. Okay, and if you have half the states working on this and achieving that kind of a goal, okay, now you've taken back the whole nation. And it'll continue to grow and get stronger. You know, once success is seen and things are going on and people see the success, then they want to participate in that success. But it starts right. with education. You've got to get rid of the laziness of the people. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest problems we have are these smartphones, because all it does is continue to dumb people down. It's destroying our children, and it's going to destroy us.
So, you know, when you talk about success, see, that's the thing. People here are so pissed off because one of the highest, our highest priorities as voters was no Democratic chairs. And now what we've done because of this high treason, according to Tench Cox, and a collapse of our guaranteed Republican form, is that, you know, we have become slaves to the Democrats. So everybody's pissed off.
Do you really?
I can wake up the people, just one second, if I could wake up the people on this high treason thing, and you know, we impeached our the best attorney general in the nation with no evidence. We have evidence that at least there are high treason proceedings on these 36 Republicans that violated, you know, their pledge to take a speaker from the Republican caucus. So, you know, the iron is getting hot. It's getting ready to burst into flames. And, you know, just proceeding on the high treason that these guys committed. And the whole deal is holding them to their oath. You know, they swore an oath, you know, to the Declaration, because those are the principles that the Constitution was written on.
Well,
we're in the Bible Belt here, and that's creation in the Bible. And if they do anything to contradict those, then they have violated their oath.
Yeah, but you see, if they don't understand what a republic is, if they don't understand
I know that, and.
I certainly think that you don't think that the Republicans know what they're doing. They don't even know what a republic is.
No, they
don't even know what a republic is.
Blackstone predicted that. There's so ignorance comes up 72 times or something in his 4-volume set, and most of it has to do with the people that we elect and the judges that are making decisions.
Right. Well, again, you know, because we have people, I heard someone say, well, we're going to win this. We're going to win this and that and the other thing at the Supreme Court, because we have 5 Republicans up there. Only got 3 Democrats. Wow. Our whole nation is destroyed if people believe that, because they're not supposed to be Republicans. They're not supposed to be Democrats. They're supposed to be justices. And the justices is to make just decisions. But remember, they're administrative law judges. We have to make them understand what that means. It means you get to understand. You get to deal with administrative courts. That is courts that are controlled by statutes. It has nothing to do with a law court. It has nothing to do with any court that we the people go into. Judges don't even belong in those courts. All judges are magistrates. And when they go into a law court, they put on a magistrate hat. They can't make any summary judgments. They can't make any decisions. Well, you can't bring this in and you can't bring that evidence in. No, that's no good. They can't make any of those decisions, okay? The people are to hear everything and anything that the both sides bring up. And they'll decide what they need to know and not know, what they need to apply and not apply. And they'll come to a decision on the end. If you put 12 individuals who understand their power and authority to make a decision in a court of law, in all likelihood, they're going to make great decisions almost every time. I think it'll be a rare bird where a wrong decision is made when 12 people come together, understanding the power and the authority and the seriousness of what they're doing, to act with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And that's what needs to be instilled into the people when they come into the court And that's the things that we have to do. That's why we need to create the administrators, okay? And we have to orientate them in the truth. The handbook that we wrote is something that should be given to every one of these people. Then they'll understand. They'll say, whoa, even the ones that don't have the knowledge, all of that, that in itself is a great deal of knowledge because it empowers the people. And once they have that, they're going to make good decisions. But judges don't belong in a court of law. And prosecutors don't get to have the power that they have. Okay? And prosecutors should never go in to talk to a grand jury. That's not for them. That's for the sheriff or the coroner to do. Okay? Not some barrister. Okay? And no lawyers going into that either. You see? But people don't know these things. They don't understand these things. And that's why if we don't educate them, we go nowhere. So again, this is how important education is.
Have you gone to any school boards to tell them about the Constitution Week law? You know, I went to 5 of them here to educate the school board that, you know, on September 17th, according to Brian Hughes, who's a guy I see every month, you know, he passed the first law on Constitution Week law. And then I presented at our commissioner's court 3 times to get them to sponsor us. 3 of the people on our commissioner's court now have taken my constitution class. But they're afraid. I think the puppet strings that they're attached to, you know, they think they're going to get strung up if they go along with teaching any or sponsoring any constitution.
Again, a couple of we're going to have to move on in a minute or two because we've been a long time. We've got other people. But look at, you know, here's the thing, though. Do you know how to get rid of a school board that's not being obedient?
Well, I've seen it happen. But it needs to have, you know, more than a dozen people show up and speak.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about. You need a committee.
Okay. The gal that when she first came to town, she had a rally at City Hall out in the lawn, and she asked me to pray for her group, and I did. So anyway, she got elected to, represents a whole senatorial district, a million people. Let me finish. We went with like 10 people to the school board, and she asked me to read like one sentence of this one book, and I got shut down 3 times before I could even read the whole sentence. Anyway, the administrator or the superintendent of the school board, you know, he, like that month, removed all those books from the 2 high schools. So that's part of the activism that can happen. And
right. You could make a bigger stroke than that because, listen, we lay this out in the handbook, okay? When you go to deal with a school board, first of all, you have to be established. You have to have your paperwork done. You have to have the sheriff on your side, and that takes maybe 3 to 6 months to do. Once the sheriff is on board and he's in agreement to what has to happen because he's following the law, then you go to the court. Then you go start visiting the school boards. No, I haven't done it yet because we're just establishing a committee of safety, but when you go into the school board, you have a plan. You know, if you have 15, let's say you got 20 people or 25 people that are serious and coming to the meetings and you're part of the committee of safety. Well, the first school board you're going to meet, you're going to communicate to every person that's living in that school district. You can get that information from Real Property, and they'll run off labels or they'll put it on a CD or a thumb drive for you, and you can run labels off of that. But you would send a little postcard out. We've already pre-written a postcard, the front and the back. I mean, you can create your own, but at least it's something to work off of. And you're inviting them to the first meeting concerning the problems in schools, and we're asking for parents and grandparents and all that are interested in this to come to our next meeting. We're going to discuss this. And then you discuss the problems with the school. You start to make notes. You make questions and so on and so forth. Now when you go to the board, you've got your 20, 25 members plus maybe 30, 40, 50 more people who are parents and grandparents and people, young marriage, getting ready to looking for a place that they want, you know, making sure their school the district that they live in is given the proper education, whatever the case may be, you're going to get a lot of people come to that. And they're going to say, yeah, let's go do it. Now you have to plan. You have to have the speakers. And when they shut one down, you have the second one to pick up where the other one left off. And when they shut that one down, pick, and you continue down the line. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, if they're not going to be obedient, it's very simple. You go up to the board, one speaker who's prepared for this, and in their back pocket, if there's 6 board members or 10 board members, whatever it is, you have 10 copies of a quo warranto written, ready to go. And you have the sheriff or one of his deputies with you, and you go up to the school board and you lay it out and say, you guys don't want to obey, by what authority do you act? And you give it to the sheriff, and the sheriff serves it. Then you may get the service of the papers. They got 3 days to respond. They don't respond, then you pull them out of office, and then you can seize the seats. The parents can take the seats until elections come by. If they want to continue to hold those seats, they can run for the election, however the process is. But that's how you take a school board back, you could take a town board back, any of these boards. But you have to establish yourself and get the whole process together. Again, you have to have paperwork, established files, you have to have the sheriff with you, working with you, and you have to have the people becoming educated, then you have to have the, and then a lot of those parents and people that go to that, they're going to see what's going on in the committees of safety, and a large percentage, I think, of those people are going to join the committee of safety. Now, we have, I think, 19 school districts in my county. That's 19 times we would grow. Every time we go, we'd grow. And our committees of safety, by the end of going to all these school boards alone, will bring us into the hundreds easily. Okay? That's how you grow a committee of safety. And that's why the education problem is the best problems to deal with. Number one, we need to save the minds of our children. Number two, we need to grow, and it'll accomplish those two things. Meanwhile, you have other subcommittees working on other things, and things are still happening in other areas. So, anyway, I'll give you another minute and I'll move. Go ahead.
John, tomorrow, we have other people in the queue. Yes.
It's 7 o'clock. I'll be meeting with...
You got to move on, Robert.
Okay, did you say 30 seconds?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, I'll be meeting with 30 to 35 preachers. I've been talking to them about first law, creation in the Bible. No human laws should be suffered to contradict these. First law of the Bible is creation. First law of U.S. law is creation. So getting those preachers to speak to their congregations and come to the school boards, you know, that would be a pretty instantaneous and huge group of people that would actually get the Bible back into schools. So, you know, there's more than
to work with at the same time. Yeah, I agree with that. It's a good plan.
What? Wait, I didn't hear you.
That's a good thing to work on with the plan that I just talked to you about, and doing what you're talking about, doing it together. That's a really good plan.
Right. So I'm working with the preachers and the congregations. And with the law as written, not what we're assuming to, the law as we swear to, not what we are practicing. So those guys are all crooks. Yeah. They're in court. Okay. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks, Robert. Okay, we'll take our next caller. Robert, you got the mic. Go right ahead. You've been unmuted. Robert?
Harry?
Yep, we can hear you.
Hi, John. Well, first of all, this is my first time calling in. Thanks for everything you're doing. But I keep hearing you guys and other people as well talk about holding these people accountable, going after them, filing tort claims. Is anybody ever successful in receiving remedy?
Well, they got the guns, and, so it's very rare to make a win. I've had a couple of wins, but they're far and in between out of hundreds of cases that we brought into the courts. We've only had one habeas corpus that went through the process, and actually they just released the person. They didn't even go through the process. But other than that, you know, we've got another habeas corpus, the guy running for sheriff, and he became a target because he was trying to get rid of corruption, and they got him on something else, and he went to jail, and so on and so forth. And they refused the habeas corpus on him. So we're ready to do an indictment on that. But we've indicted quite a few judges, but it hasn't gone anywhere because they have no respect for the people. They have total control. They ignore you. They got the guns. They use their rules as law, and they throw you out of court all day long. Can't tell you how many times you've been thrown out of court.
Well, yeah, and I get that, but you know what? We the people have guns as well. At what point is it not?
I don't mean guns in that fashion. I mean guns in the sense that they got the power. Okay.
Well, Trump.
That's what they're doing to us. There's no difference. They have become Nazis. They have become, they're working for the New World Order, and that's the problem. And we need to get rid of them. We're working on that. This is not something we don't know about, and it's not something we don't have a plan for. We're well into our plan right now.
Yeah, well, do you see it going anywhere? Because it seems like...
No doubt about it. Look, Trump has already gotten rid of 150 administrative
federal judges.
Okay, yep, on a federal level.
Yeah.
One. Number two, Bondi put out a memorandum just recently. I got to get that up online. She put out a memorandum to let it be known that this Justice Department, we're no longer going to represent a judge when they step outside of their authority. There is no representation. Every time I go into court and I sue the powers that be at that level, I always make the point, why do we the people pay for his or her defense? We're paying for all these lawyers and everything else, and we're operating off of pennies, and you're operating off of millions of dollars worth of resources, and these people are breaking the law, they violated their oath, they stepped outside of the authority, they shouldn't have anybody. Let them go get their own representation. Let them pay for it. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what Bondi just put out.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Well, that's kind of where I was going with it. If nothing's working, it's not only our obligation, but it's our duty to take it back by whatever means possible. And, they just continue to ignore.
But the Second Amendment is we're not at a point. Matter of fact, I thought we were going to get to that point. But when Trump came into office, I saw we don't have to get to that point.
Well, yeah, that's the biggest saving grace for sure. There's no question.
So anyway, again, we are working on taking the courts back. Look, that's right now, the primary focus of National Liberty Alliance is three things. Teaching the people to get involved through committees of safety, thereby exercising their right of government by consent. Number two, taking our education process back, getting a proper education, as Jefferson spoke of. Okay, it teaches the civics, teaches the Constitution, and teaches our children how the court system works, what due process is, what our heritage is. All of that is collected in that one thing. And then the other thing, of course, is taking back our courts of justice and reestablishing them. And that requires every federal judge to be removed from the bench, and they all should be prosecuted, every single one of them. Because they all violated the law, they've destroyed lives, their entire career is all about destroying lives and bending the knee to the powers that they serve, which is the New World Order.
Yeah, well, sounds like it's we're on the right step, that's for sure. So, I'm just looking forward to learning what I can and trying to get involved as much as I can.
Well, if you go to our front page here, you can see the latest papers that we put out and to see how we come with power and authority. We started off with the Supreme Court. And this has been years of working on, by the way. You know, we got, 12, 14, 15 years of an action against the judiciary, for instance. If you go to federal cases and click on action against the judiciary, you can read all the cases and papers that we have been filing over the years. And all this was done to prove the conspiracy that all of the, whether you're dealing with a federal court in California or New York or Texas or Pennsylvania or Washington, it doesn't matter where you go. They all do the same thing. They all break the same law. They all act the same way. And guess what that proves? It proves conspiracy. Okay?
Yeah.
Because they all do it the same way. And that was the purpose of our last 15 years of work or 12 years of work, whatever it's been. We started filing these papers in 2015, so that's 10 years. And of course, we were working before that, but 10 years is filing on this kind of a case. And then if you go to our front page, so you can look at all these cases here, but if you go to our front page, the presentment recently, this is going on the last few months, we started this in October 20th, I think, or in October 24, 2015, 2024. And we did a presentment to the United States Supreme Court. Then we did an addendum to that grand jury presentment. Then we did an indictment upon the entire federal judiciary. Then we did a and we filed that with President Trump and numerous other people. And when Bondi came in, we filed all of this paperwork with her also. Then we did a presentment to President Trump. And then our last paper, which was just 2 weeks ago, was a presentment to the President Trump and Attorney General Bondi. Now this week, or as soon as I can get it written up and get the funding, put all these books together. We're going to send 30 to 40 books to certain individuals all around Trump and through his administration, which is the Government by Consent book right here. You can read about that right here by clicking on that. And you can read about this book, what's inside of it, and book reviews and a table of contents and so on and so forth. And you can order the book if you want. But anyway, we want to get a book to every one of these individuals. I'm going to write a paper on, introduction to the National Liberty Alliance, what we're doing and what we expect of them. And at the same time, we're going to be doing a presentment to Bondi and copy the president concerning particularly the latest habeas corpus that they just ignored and put this person in jail. And then they gave them the first hearing December 2025. Go figure that out. December 2025. Yeah. Okay, what happened to speedy trial? Okay,
exactly.
But that's where they're at. And then I'm going to resend all of the indictments we've done over the years and to Bondi. And we expect that she's going to honor the people. This is our will. This is our indictment. We, the people, have the power and the authority to do that. The case was United States versus Williams, and in that case, Judge Anton Scalia wrote for the majority concerning the case that was had to do with the grand jury, and in that he wrote a tremendous amount of information talking about the power and the authority of the people through the grand jury. We get to bring ourselves together. We don't have to have an authority to put us together. We are the authority. We're the lawmakers. We ordained and established this stuff. So he speaks about all this, very powerful paper. And with that, we've used that as the center point of what we're doing because we're coming in as a grand jury.
Yeah. So it sounds like we do have some people on our side where it matters.
Right now, we've got a lot of people on our side. All of the major players on the federal level, the major players that are taking control of all of these government agencies, they're us. Just look at the people we put together.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
So we have the opportunity to seize the moment. And people are still sleeping. Wake up, people. Support what we're doing. Get involved. Get a committee of safety. And let's get this job done with. Train the children how they should walk. Right now, perverts are training your children how they should walk in life. That's what's going on. You want to live with that?
No, it's terrible. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And I look forward to learning what I can.
Right. Thanks, Glenn. What state you're from, by the way?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Glenn.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, next person, Bernadette. Sounds like a song. You got the mic.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you. This is my first time coming on here. I just recently came across your page, so thank you very much for this. I don't know if this is something that you can answer right now. It has to do with just some kind of guidance, trying to help my sister with some family court. I don't know if you can give me some guidance or answer a question here. I'm not sure if that's off topic.
Mm-hmm. Is it a problem with children or divorce when you say family court?
Yeah, children for full custody. My sister.
Yeah, these people are evil. So let me think about this.
Okay.
We wrote a paper on this. Maybe next week I'll talk about it because it's something that we should probably start off in the very beginning of our program. But I wrote a paper concerning the problems with the family court and what needs to be done to repair them. As a matter of fact, let me see real quick here.
Okay.
Back to our front page. This paper here might be dealing with it. We already got that one open. I don't remember. We write so many papers sometimes, you know, not sure what papers. So well, I'm going to go through things, and next week I think we're going to talk about that problem.
Okay.
With courts, because the family court is an evil court. You know, how do you get two lawyers to agree, three or four lawyers to agree, and they're all out to win. They're not there for justice. They're not there for concerns of the children. They don't care about the family. They're not looking to fix nothing. They're looking to win. And they want to take that win and move it as long as they can so they can take as much money as they can, because that's what they're taught to do.
Mm-hmm.
The minions of the New World Order. And it's disgusting what they've done and what they've created. But we have written up a plan to repair that part of the process concerning family issues.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely should not be in a court-type situation. And there should be no lawyers should be allowed in there, even non-bar lawyers. They should not be allowed. So anyway, we'll look into that paper next week.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. So what was the problem or the concern?
Well, they're she's having, well, the father of her kids is neglecting them. There's some substance abuse and unsupervision. The kids are home alone and stuff. So the judge just keeps dismissing everything that we keep coming to her with. And we did an emergency court order, emergency ex parte custody, and she just dismissed it today. And she's just, we put all the proof that we could on there. We did affidavits. We did everything that I know, and I have little, you know, knowledge. I'm just starting out, so, but I'm just trying to help her out, and she's just in so much distress. The kids are just, you know, it's just a lot.
The families, yeah. All right, look, I think with the paper that I wrote, I don't think it's all that long, so we can read it next week, and I think that'll help to empower or to at least inform people on a better way to deal with these problems. But to fix the problems, we have to first take control of the federal courts.
Mm-hmm.
Once we take control of the federal courts, there are two things the federal courts are responsible for. Responsibility number one, they're administrative court judges. So they are law judges, administrative law judges. So in other words, they deal with all of the equity, which is dealing with statutes and different codes and regulations, and that's what they're to apply upon individuals that are working for commercial activities or working for government agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what that is all about. But when you get into a law court, those statutes don't belong there, okay? And judges don't belong there either. This is the court of the people, the people's court. People are surprised to hear that. I don't know if they're really getting that, what I'm trying to say, because no judges belong in a court of law. They can't make any decisions, no summary judgments, nothing. Get out of here. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get them out of the courts. But this family court is something special. It has to be done in a different way. And I wrote a paper on this, and I think it'll be good. But in order to take back the courts in the state level, we have to have the federal courts, because their second job is to champion the Constitution. That's their job. They're administrative law judges. But they have the power in law to champion the Constitution. So when we have a problem with due process and the way things are going that shouldn't be going in these courts, we bring it into the federal court, and we're expecting them to uphold the law and command those lower courts to act in the proper way, however it is that they should be, and we should lay that out, of course, in the paperwork. And that's what they have to do. And that's when we'll start taking back our state courts. And the county courts, and the town courts, the village courts, the town and the village and the city courts, with the exception of certain cities, like New York City, these courts are administrative courts and have no power over the people. And they can't make any decision, they can't incarcerate, they can't fine, they can't do those things at all. Yet they do it all day long. And they do it because of reasons. We don't know that they can't do it. And that's the problem. But anyway, I'll try to give you some info next week on that.
Okay. Is there anything you can recommend now? Like, we were just trying to kind of motion her to dismiss herself from it.
Well, there is one thing you could do. You could move it to, let me think about it. You're in a family court, which is under the supervision of the state court, which is just as corrupt as any other court, so that's problematic. But because they're applying statutes upon you, that's a denial of due process, and if you understand how to do this, you can move it to federal court for cause. What state are you in?
Well, my sister's in California.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, it's a hit and miss, you know, who knows, maybe you get a judge up in the level who actually understand and do the right thing. But any court that's holding statutes upon you, a statute denies due process because it's a fixed situation. You can't beat it, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the purpose of a statute, to control the people, you know, when they apply it in what they call civil law. Mm-hmm. And it's good to control the people by, through statutes if they're working for government agencies or participating in some commercial activity. We give them the right power and the authority to, not, we didn't give them any rights. We vested them with power. Mm-hmm. To write legislation to control these different things, and that's lawful. But you can't take, and that is acceptable, okay? Mm-hmm. They signed up, they agreed, took the job on, okay? Now, with the people, they can't apply that to we the people, okay? And that's mm-hmm. the big difference. And so if you're in a court that's applying a statute upon you, then statute lacks due process. It's an administrative court. They have no power, no authority over us. So you'd have to know how to write a paper, you'd have to get into federal court, and you have to hopefully get a judge that will appreciate what you're saying and actually do the right thing. Occasionally they do the right thing. And, you know, but to do all that, you need knowledge. And that's enough. Write papers, you have to know how it works. And just so you know, we do give a course on that. You can find that under Education Starts Here. You click on court access in the common law course, and you can read about it here. We give the first 3 hours of the course for free. You can listen into the first 3 hours and get a flavor of it. This will teach you exactly everything you need to know, how due process works, how the court system works, how to write, you know, what the process of papers are. And we give examples, and you learn how to write a paper mostly by reading other cases, learning how other people write. And we're talking reading Supreme Court cases, you know, decisions. And so you'll find a lot of information, a lot of reference to that. You can read a lot of our cases under the federal court cases, okay, action against the judiciary particularly is one. And you can read a lot of the papers we've written and put into the courts. On our welcome page also we have we talked about 5 papers we've written, which are presentments. Okay, again, all these things kind of give you an appreciation of the flow of how to write a paper and certain phrases and things that you'd use in a court and so on. But that takes time, so it's not something that's going to be achieved in a couple of days. You know, it's a 90-hour course to begin with, and there's a lot of stuff involved. So, but really, you know, as far as the argument in the court, in a common law court, it's all common sense. And it works off the heart because God put the law into the heart of man. So we all know when wrongdoing is done. And we also know how something should be fixed, you know, when it's proposed. This is what's proposed to fix this problem. For every injury, must be a remedy. And so, you know, that's pretty quick and pretty easy to pick up. And then it's how due process works is another part of it. And, you know, there's a process of going through this process, and that's what you have to study. But, you know, everybody should at least go through the course, even if they're not going to apply it, then they'll understand it. To articulate it and be successful, that's a more deeper involvement in that course.
Okay.
You know, by spending more time researching and learning and studying, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I do you know about instruments with the law, like when you're going into family courts? Like, are we able to get like our affidavit back, or is that going to be a fight?
What do you mean an affidavit back?
Well, because it's considered an instrument.
Yeah, but what do you mean? Who's affidavit? Why do you want it back?
Oh, I'm sorry. My sister's. Sorry.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Don't they, with the little knowledge I know, I'm sorry. Don't they gain money through that instrument privately?
Well, they make money in many different ways. There's a connection whether they understand it or not to the SESQ accounts. I don't know if you understand that. Mm-hmm. There's the whole process of the way things work. The lawyers make money. The judges get all kinds of payolas from different processes, different things. They all become rich. You know, the whole thing is set up for them all to become rich. The Bar Association controls everything. They recreated our law system and turned everything upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And how they got away with it is the people just became more and more ignorant. People have no clue what's really going on. They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know all the fraud that's it's being exposed, some of it now. So that's good.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay. All right, thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Let's take our next person. Ross, how you doing? You got the mic.
John?
Yeah.
You think also we need to fix the land issue too?
The land issue?
Yes.
Yeah, that I believe Trump is going to fix because he understands the problem with, you know, income tax. And he's dealing with it little by little. He keeps putting little bits of information. Every once in a while, he tells, we need to get rid of the IRS. You know, he just got rid of, or they're in the process of getting rid of the ATF. Okay. Is that what it's called? Let's see. Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Yeah, the ATF. They're on their way out, and they're going to be merged in to some degree with the FBI, I think. And then they're going to get away from dealing with this particular, because really they're the arm of the IRS. That's what the ATF was created for. And I also heard that he's getting rid of quite a few thousand. You know, I'm afraid to say the number because I don't remember how big or how little it is. It's pretty big. I'm thinking 15,000. I may be wrong. Maybe it's a big number of people that they hired for the IRS and they want to weaponize them, give them guns. I mean, why are they giving IRS agents guns, you know? And I understand those people are on their way out also. So, look, Trump is doing a good job on that, and we'll see where we come to the end, and we'll have to sweep up what he misses. But I don't think he's missing anything. And part of that other deal is, and he's already straightened this out, comes from England, ultimately, with the Queen, when he took the gold back. I don't know if you realize that. Did the same thing with Rome, went to get the gold out of there. I heard that it took 650 planes of gold to get the gold out of there. So that's a lot of gold. And then there was the gold he seized up in the Philippines. I don't know how much people know about that. So he's been working out getting gold going back to his first administration. And it's been brought back to the United States. And there's a lot more gold than what we're going to find in Fort Knox. And that's another thing that's going to be opened up. Some of that might be fake fool's gold. You know, who knows? Maybe some lead-painted gold, I don't know. But, you know, anyway, the property tax all goes back to really deal with England, and they've got their hands in that particular pot. That's part of the deal. And that's been broken, or is going to be broken. And again, it's an unlawful tax, because if they're going to tax your property every year, I mean, what, are you buying it every year? What are they talking about? You know, if they're going to tax your property every year and take it away from you if you don't pay the tax, guess what? You don't own your property, do you? So.
Also, another problem is some people are starting to ruin the process of getting the land patent by that guy, Rob Gibson.
Okay. Yeah, there's a few people out there teaching that. Go ahead.
Yes, because that's the only land has to be granted to us to actually officially own in it.
Well, we just have to nullify the laws they put in place that took the robber our land. Okay. I appreciate what they're trying to do with land patent, and they may go through a lot of exercising to get all the paperwork done and filing it right and everything else, but then it has to be acknowledged and accepted. That's another battle, okay? But a simpler way from my oppression, you know, my opinion, is to fight the battle right off the bat Have your land turned from residential, if it's residential, to private property. That takes it off the tax rolls. Okay, but that's a battle, uphill battle. You got to fight it. Starts over with a battle in your town, and it'll escalate up into the county level probably, and then you have to battle it. And I don't know, again, the courts are corrupt, so you're probably not going to win that either. You do the land patent thing, the courts are corrupt because that's where you have to end up. You know, that's another battle you're going to have to face anyway. But in my opinion, I wouldn't put too much time into it presently, because I think within the next year that's going to be a solved problem.
Our Supreme Court said the land patent is the highest form of ownership.
Yeah, but do you think that the lower courts the are going to acknowledge that? They don't listen to the Supreme Court anyway, to begin with. I go into court, I bring up so much Supreme Court, and they just ignore it all. They ignore it all, the meaning of words, the meaning of phrases, the law, the requirements, their duties, their oaths. They ignore it all. They don't care. And they get away with it. Nobody knows what to do with it. Look what they've done. Look what they've done to Trump. We've watched this for years now. Look what the courts have done to Trump. And look at, they've been doing that to the people forever. They've been doing that to me. As long as I've come to the knowledge of dealing and going into the courts, they've been doing that to me, just what they've been doing to Trump. But they have pursued me criminally once, the IRS, you know, and I was able to win that one. But, you know, that's far and in between. And, you know, it's a battle. But I think it's all going to be corrected. So I don't want to disencourage anyone from pursuing this, if that's what they're into. They're gonna learn anyway, and learn about the courts. But I think, you know, again, would suggest people put their time in other places, and let's fix the whole problem. That's going to be fixed with the problems that's already being dealt with right now.
And I think, John, I think we need actually people, and we as we the people need to focus on the courts first before focusing on the administrative and legislative process first.
Well, I agree 100%, and that is primary focus of National Liberty Alliance. That is our point focus, is dealing with courts.
Thus, the Founding Fathers said the third branch of government is the weakest, and the very high interest, high net worth people focus on the courts because they know they can weaken that to get control of our government or system.
Well, they've got a very tight grip on the government, and we're seeing it's, you know, they just don't want to let it go, and they're still trying to fight, but their lives are at stake also, and I think they're going to turn this thing to violence at some point, because there really is less for them to do.
Basically, it's like they are in rebellion against the government or the Constitution itself.
Absolutely, they're subverters. They need to go to jail or be hung, depending on the degree and knowledge of their subversion. And that's up to the people to decide in each case. Some of it will be military, I believe. You know, the people on the high level that they know absolutely these people are subverting this government. They know exactly what they're doing, and they deserve to hang at the end of a short rope.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I yield.
Okay. Thanks, Ross. Okay, that's it for questions. If anybody else has a question, we still have 10 minutes, star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone to get into the queue. And if you're on an app or a browser, you should have a button there. So, okay, we got Mark. Mark, you got the mic. What state you from, Mark?
Indiana.
Indiana, Mark. You got it.
I was about 15 minutes late on the call tonight. I emailed a question in last week. You might have answered it. It's about sending a book to our sheriff through another NLA sheriff.
Yeah, I didn't hear that question tonight nor last week, but I think I saw something in email, something about that. You might have sent that to mail at National Liberty Alliance instead of questions. I don't remember. But I don't remember exactly what it was. What we're doing is asking people in the counties to purchase the book and to send it to their sheriff. You can kind of send it prematurely, but it is really the best and the most powerful way you're going to get, because they may not read it, or even goes sits and collects dust in the desk, I don't know. But, you know, the best way to push that is for the Committee of Safety to present that to them. And, of course, with the paperwork, establishing who they are. And then with a notice that, hey, let's get together in about 5 or 6 weeks or so. We'd like you to come and talk with our group. And here's the paperwork. We'd like you to understand who we are. We could talk about that. And here's a book, Government by Consent, so that you can learn about the law. And because sheriffs aren't taught the law, and they need to know the law because they are the law enforcer. And hopefully 6 weeks later, he'll come to the meeting and he'll have read the book and start to become enlightened and start to work with the people and start to do the right thing and take his county back under the control of the law. So that's the plan we have.
So. Well, our safety committee, since we're not very big, they would like, you know, to have more credibility, we would like to see if we could have, I have everything all put together. I would just like to send it to a NLA sheriff and have them send it to
We have a Sheriff Dar who is working with other sheriffs, trying to educate other sheriffs and get the sheriffs together. He's also working with Sheriff Mack, who is working with a lot of sheriffs. And so we have, if you go up, let's say you go up to, let's see, the sheriff, okay, on a, let's see, you're coming in on a phone, no, you're coming in on a, with a browser or something, you can see my desktop?
Yes.
Okay, under sheriff, on the blue bar, you come down and click on join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. Now, if you click on that, there's some information here. Now, you can click on, you know, where to buy the book, Government by Consent. Then you can click on download Sheriff Dar Leaf's endorsement letter, so you can put that in with the book. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you can click on download National Liberty Alliance's letter to the sheriff,
yep.
And you can put that in with the book.
Yep.
I would suggest maybe getting them a couple of, you go to, underneath Welcome, you come down to Books by John Duresh. And I would suggest to throw a couple of these books in there, too, which is County Sheriff's Common Law Handbooks. Okay, so the leadership can have handbooks. And but again, you know, the my sheriff died about a year and a half ago. And his undersheriff took power. And then he was elected. And now he's had the book because the sheriff had the book. And we put in the book a little note when we were sending them out. We put it in the property of the sheriff's office so that, you know, the sheriff understands when he leaves that book stays in his office. And so this sheriff has that book, and yet we know he hasn't read it because he's totally ignorant to the law, totally ignorant. I don't want to say he's corrupt, but, you know, a sheriff that doesn't know the law is lawless, okay? So unknowingly they're corrupt. And believe me, I tried to get this sheriff to do the right thing on a couple of issues in my county, and yet he has failed to do the right thing, and he ignores the people. You can't even get a hold of him. Sheriff before, he was a patriot, and you can get him on the phone. I had his cell number on speed dial on my phone. I didn't really use it, but I had it. He gave it to me, and if I had a problem, you know, just call him. So it was a direct line. And I came talking with him, you know, with a group of people we had. At that time we were doing the Tea Party, I think, you know, and so we were kind of still doing that group stuff a year and a half ago, and, well, actually it was about 3 years ago, maybe, when we met with the sheriff originally and gave him the book, and he was a patriot at that point. He had really learned a lot. He read the book, and he was backing us up, but he passed, and now we're trying to get a committee of safety going in the county.
So would I send this to Sheriff Dar or Sheriff Mack?
No, just download the letters and stick it in with the book. The letter is from a sheriff to sheriff. That's why he gave the letter to us to endorse the book.
So the mailing doesn't have to be from a sheriff.
No. You can present it to him with those two letters in it, one from National Liberty Alliance and the other one from Sheriff Darr. But again, you're creating the Committee of Safety?
Yes.
Okay. Did you get your charter done and your resolutions and your deal?
It's all notarized and in the binder.
So that's the key. You know, you want to serve them with that, and the book and the papers, you know, the two letters, and then you want to make an appointment, say, hey, look, we'll give you a call in a month or so. We'd like you to come down and talk with us, and we'll work out a date in a month. This will give him time to go through all the literature, read the book, and so the time he comes. We also wrote a paper of questions. I think I put it up here. If I didn't, I will put it up here. I think it would be under Handbooks, Videos, and Tools, under Starter Committee of Safety. And on this page, let me see if I put it here. I put a thing, let me do a quick search, Control Find. Yeah, here it is, Proposed Questions to the Sheriff. Okay, now you don't want to embarrass him, but this is some questions I wrote up, and you know, we'll be talking about this in my meeting coming soon. And we can add to this and we can alter this. You know, we're free and independent, we can do whatever we want. But these are the proposed questions. Question number one, have you read our charter, resolutions, and books that we presented to you? Number two, what was the most new profound thing that you learned, and how has it changed your thinking of the law? Three, Samuel Adams said the natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth and not to be under the will or legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature for his rule. Do you understand and agree with Samuel Adams? Next question. Article 3 of the Constitution states that the supreme law of the land is law and equity, whereas law is common law and equity is statutes. Do you understand and agree that statutes are for commercial activities and government agents and their agents, and common law is for the people? Next question. He should know all these answers if he read the book. Okay. Do you understand that we the people elected or will elect you, not the county attorney, to enforce the law? And it is your duty to know the law. Another question. When there is a conflict between law and equity, will you stand on the law even when the county attorney disagrees? You see, these sheriffs are afraid to step up against the attorneys, the prosecutors, the county attorneys, because they're ignorant to the law. Was there anything you read that I might have a problem with? The County Committee of Safety's purpose is to exercise our right of government by consent, to defend the Constitution, and bring government back under the will of the people. When called upon, will you meet with us to discuss and enforce the law of the land? Another question, will you give your cell phone number to our chairman, who will only call when the full County Committee of Safety agrees to contact you? Next question, will you or one of your deputies attend our monthly meetings in order that we can inform each other of our intentions, and where differences of opinions are discovered, we can find correction and unity? Another question, will you stop the ATF from entering, which this may have to be removed soon, the ATF from entering our county that you are responsible for protecting to execute alleged federal warrants via SWAT for an alleged debt? Another question, will you require all law enforcement agencies before executing a warrant to produce a warrant with a wedding signature supported by an oath before execution, and will you respond with them in order to make sure that they do not abuse their powers? Another question, do you, and I, most of these, almost all these warrants are unlawful. Do you agree with Sheriff Brad Rogers where he said a sheriff can and should interpose for his citizens against an overreaching federal, state, or government, or local government? Another question, will you and your deputies educate yourselves by taking the course Court Access in the Common Law? It's a 90-hour course that is offered free to sheriffs and their deputies. And another question, if you truly enforce the law, you will be met with political pressure from other elected or appointed individuals. Are you up for the job to enforce the law? Now, there's a lot of questions other people can think about and put it in here, but these are a lot of the proposed questions that we put together. And this will tell us whether he read the book. And then, you know what? If he's not in agreement with us and he doesn't want to work with us and he hasn't read the book, it's time to get a new sheriff. If we do a recall, we'll teach you how to do that, too.
Okay.
But I see two other people entered the queue, but it's after 11 now, so we're going to close down, and maybe next week, hopefully, you guys will come back, and we'll get into the queue early, and we'll take your questions or comments or corrections. Okay, with that, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Be back next Monday. Good night.